America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Thursday night, we'll hear from Chris Lindstrom in about 20 minutes, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL, as Andy and Randy had a chance to catch up with him. Later in the hour, some guy talk, and also Coach Raheem Morris as the Bucs come into town for Thursday night football. Last week, she said, I said, what are you going to do? She said, I want to just close my eyes and pull the covers up because I know it's going to be a tough game.
It was tough.
Boy, was it a tough game. Let's talk some dogs. All right, Barbara, what an incredible game. Listen, I think it was the best game so far, obviously, this season, and maybe these two teams meet again. But tell me what you were thinking.
I think it's the best game I've ever seen.
Wow.
It was great. It really was. Tell me what you were thinking when the Dogs took the lead, though, in the fourth quarter there late.
Well, I thought we were going to win it. I mean, I couldn't believe that we would that our defense, which is as good as you get, would let them just march right down the field and score. It's amazing.
Yeah, I tell you what, and I don't know, Barbara, watching a 17-year-old kid making those kind of plays, I don't know who the youngest player ever has played for your husband at Georgia, but man, they got some players on Bama, but that was something to watch.
That was something to watch, and you're right. He's an amazing player, that kid is. An amazing player. But I'll tell you this, I have to hand it to Georgia because I've never seen a comeback like they made. I will say the first half, well, not even the first half, I was so upset after the first quarter. I was at my daughter's house watching it. I got up and left and went home, and I said, I can't watch this another minute. So I left, and I went home, and I can remember when Vince used to play out-of-town games, and they were horrible. I would do things that I hate to do while I watched it because it would get me through it. So I went home, and I pulled out all my ironing, opened the ironing board, started ironing, turned the TV back on, and we weren't any better. But the second half came, and man, oh, man, I don't know what Kirby does at halftime. But he turned that team around in 1 second flat, didn't he?
He did.
Yes, ma'am.
He did. They responded in the second half. And I think that's what Dog fans are hanging their hat on. It's Barbara Dooley joining us, brought to you by Kroger, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. That's what everybody's saying. Like, okay, yes, we lost. But we didn't quit. We didn't give in, right? And you go, all right, we're going to have some tough games ahead of us. But you have confidence now that, hey, this team has the will to fight back.
But they did that in every game we played this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kentucky got us. We came back. And here we go again. But I never dreamed ever that Georgia would have five turnovers or four. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Four.
Was it four or
four?
Five?
Yep.
Four. I never dreamed we would have four turnovers. Nor did I ever dream that we didn't have the level of consistency that we need to play sound football. You got to play every down the best you can play.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that.
And Barbara's
but I, good. We made up for it in the second half, but right. we're a little bit shy.
The thing we were talking about last week, Barbara, is the slow starts. And one thing I thought, Carl and I said, I couldn't imagine a Georgia team with 2 weeks to prepare would come out and look that bad.
Me either. And I don't know what you contribute that to. I really don't. But I know this. We probably are looking like, oh, Auburn's a terrible team. We're going to just wear them out. But Auburn is not really that bad. They've had three losses, and all three losses were less than 10 points. I mean, they had a 7-point loss, a 10-point loss, and a 6-point loss. And they actually had Oklahoma beat.
Yes, they did. Carl, bet that game.
Thanks, Mike.
How about that game?
Everybody was picking against Auburn, Barbara, so I was like, I know.
I'm thinking we watched some great football last weekend, didn't we?
We did. Barbara, let me ask you this. You and Vince met at Auburn. Can you tell us about that before we talk more about this matchup in Georgia this weekend in Athens? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a master's degree in guidance and counseling. You talk about being the perfect person for a head coach to come home to and sit there and talk to. Did you know that that's what you wanted to do? But tell us about how you guys met there at Auburn.
Well, he was my faculty advisor at church. He was a coach. He had already graduated from college. He'd been in the Marine Corps. He came out, and I was this untapped little girl from Birmingham, freshman. And he said he was the faculty chairman of our student group at the church. And he said he looked around that first night, and if anybody needed advising, it was me. Well, I will tell you, he was one hell of a recruiter because I didn't like him worth a flip for 4 years. He chased me and chased me. And, I mean, he even now that he's in heaven, he can't deny that. He keeps saying, oh, no, you chased me. No, 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 no. In fact, I was in love with one of his football players.
Oh, goodness.
And I said, that old man is driving me crazy. So what is really funny, this football player that I was in love with went up to him on the practice field and said, Coach, I would appreciate it if you'd leave my girl alone. And he said, well, I will honor that. But he didn't. He started asking my roommate out and saying, bring Barbara. I don't know. It was a strange love affair. But may I say, it worked for 62 years. But one of the funniest things that I think happened, we got married, and we moved to Georgia, and he went around to every city in Georgia introducing himself as the new head coach. Right. And he went to LaGrange, which is right next door to Auburn. And one of my sorority sisters went up to him after his speech, and she said, Coach, are you married to Barbara Meshed? And he said, yes, that's who I married. She said, oh, I'm so glad some old man chased her all over Auburn. He said, I'm that old man.
I'm him.
That's wild.
So we had a rocky start, but we had a good 62 years. Well, most of them were. He would say, we had a great 55 years, and that ain't bad. I was 62.
Right on. That's great. It's funny. It's kind of like the Matthew Stafford story in reverse, Carl, because you know the story was Kelly was dating another quarterback that was playing for Mark Richt, Barbara, to get Matthew's attention.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And eventually it all worked out.
Yep. Isn't that interesting? I think God has a plan for everybody. You just have to listen.
And be persistent.
True. Most of us are not willing.
He was a recruiter. Let me tell you, that guy was a recruiter.
Well, you know what? That gives a little bit of insight into why he was so good at his career. Barbara Dooley joining us, guys. It is our dog report as we talk each and every week with her. All right. We, Kirby, everybody, we got to forget about the Bama game. We'll see them again, hopefully, down the road. What do we need to do this weekend, Barbara, against this Auburn team? You said it. They've been in these games. It's been close. I just like to see the Dogs play a complete game. I feel like the second half.
Slow start.
Yes, was great. Kentucky, you found a way to win, but I don't feel like they've played a complete game.
Well, they didn't. They found a way to win, but that's the sign of a great team is if you find a way to win, but you can't do that every week.
Right.
We have got to get a level of consistency in fundamentals. And Vince Dooley would tell you, go back to basics and block and tackle, nothing fancy, run the ball. Of course, you know, he was the run the ball king. Mm-hmm. And he didn't throw much, but we've got a great quarterback who can throw, but you've got to have a running game too.
Right.
But Carson was really off his game that first half. Yep. And I've never seen anything like it.
Yep.
I think he had, what, three interceptions?
Yes, ma'am.
He did, and a fumble. Yes. Yep.
And that's, Barbara, we're talking about Coach Bobo. We said, I don't get your take on it because you talk about running the football. We thought that they kind of got into a shooting match with Alabama where maybe you just stay with your game plan and run the football more. Maybe they intended to throw it the whole time, but we just thought they needed to run the ball more early, take some of the air out.
Well, we've got to open the game up so that they don't – we're not running every play and we're not passing every play. We're absolutely in there doing our job. And I think maybe Kirby said to them at halftime, look, you guys are not doing what you've been taught to do. And they weren't. Absolutely. I mean, when Alabama scored that many points, you remember when I said last week, I'm wondering if we're hexed because of Coach Saban or Alabama. I guess we found out it ain't Saban.
Yeah.
It's Alabama.
You're right. It's true. Oh, it was great to watch just from a fan's perspective, but the ups and downs, the emotional twists and turns was a hell of a night. Hopefully the Dogs can go ahead, Barbara, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it was so perfectly shocking. When the camera, when we scored and went ahead, and the camera scanned the Alabama student section,
right.
And they were crying, they were holding their heads, they were not looking, and then, darn it, they score 3 seconds later, and they scan the Athens side, and we're all crying.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, all I could think of is, you can go from the outhouse to the penthouse in 1 second, or from the penthouse to the outhouse.
Yep. Well, they can't lose against Auburn, and we'll talk more about it because then there's another big game coming up with Texas before you know it. But, again, so do you do windows, too, when the team's struggling? Because I think a lot of folks would have Barbara over, Carl, during a tough Georgia game. Get some work done.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I wish Auburn good luck, but I wish us the best luck, let me tell you. And I will, even though it's my alma mater, people used to say, how can you pull against Auburn? And I would say, when you watch your paycheck run up and down the field, you can pull for anybody.
It's so true. Barbara, thank you. And let's enjoy this one, hopefully, on Saturday. And enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good seeing you guys.
You too.
Thanks, bye. Barbara. Is that something you do, by the way? I've done a lot of, to her point, I've done a lot of, like, honeydew stuff during watching Florida State because you can't watch them.
Yeah.
right now. It's very painful.
My, just fundamentally, when I'm stressed,
right,
don't laugh. I clean.
Right.
And don't ask me why. And my wife makes fun of me. My daughter makes fun of me. My family members. But when I'm stressed.
Right.
Why are you vacuuming when the game is? Because I'm stressed, okay? I can't. Why are you cleaning the bathroom? That's what I do. What I do, man. Mm. So, to her point, I feel her on that big time. Right. Great stuff from Barbara Dooley. Find out what Chris Lindstrom's thinking, guys, as we get ready for Tampa tomorrow, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bell at Signia. Fourth floor, they got this unbelievable layout. Big outdoor bar, indoor, outdoor. It's state of the art. It's called The Nest. And that's where we'll be for a special show from 2 to 4 before we get ready for the Falcons and the Bucks. Also, tomorrow, if you missed it yesterday, we spoke with Rick Stroud. Had a really, really cool conversation with a guy who's been covering the Bucks for decades. And the comments about Baker Mayfield, how Baker went on a podcast and basically said, it's a lot more fun around here now that that Tom Brady guy is gone. And at first, everybody was kind of like, what did Baker say? And now we kind of realize what it was about was that last year, then Brady came back when he was retired and then came back and then was going through a divorce. He was basically miserable. And everybody else at one Buccaneer place was miserable. So there was some truth in it. And, of course, Tom kind of fired back on the broadcast saying, well, I'm in a championship, you know, winning business, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, more on that coming up as we get ready for the Bucs. Speaking of which, short turnaround, Andy Randy, because things were kind of backwards with the schedule. They were out there today at Flowery Branch, talked to Chris Lindstrom and said, how do you get ready with such short turnaround?
You know, the Thursday is always a challenge on the physical side, so you're always trying to recover, and Raheem's done such an amazing job to get us back physically. And then the mental preparation, just thankful that it's a divisional opponent who we have a lot of reps banked against, and just, you know, study and dive into what they do this year, what they do well, and you have all those personal reps with guys over the years. And so just really lock in everything, and everything's crammed in, but guys are doing a great job preparing.
How is your job different or affected, if at all, when the starting right tackle is out, is a backup right tackle, the starting center is out, there's a backup center, so the guys that you're in between are different than they were at the beginning of the season? How does that change your job at all?
I think it's just the communication aspect of it, and super fortunate that, you know, Ryan Neuzel's been here for 4 years now, and so ton of practice reps together, and even when he was a younger guy, he was given the defensive looks, and so we're always talking through those things. So we, you know, that's the continuity that we're super thankful that we have. So just one practice of physical, doing it together, and then you're hitting your stride because we both know what we want. And then Storm, I don't know how many games it's been together, but I think that was like our third or fourth game play together. So and both of those guys are such really good pros that, you know, you're never picking up for their – it's not like there's somebody that's new in the building. You got to pick up, you know, for them mentally. Those guys are sharp and on top of it. And so it's just the kind of the small things of how guys want to play things to see the difference.
How has – what, in your opinion, what is the little thing that's keeping this offense from staying on track on third downs? Gaining more plays, all those different things. What, in your opinion, what is that little thing that's keeping you off of that?
I think Coach talks about it a lot, is we just got to stay in third and manageable, and then you just look at the percentage breakdowns. No matter, it doesn't matter who it is. You know, you're third and seven plus, it's hard to go. Like, those defense linemen are good. The coverage is really good. So third and manageable is definitely, you know, the goal when you get in those situations, because the whole playbook's open. When those guys get the tee off and right. screw their cleats into the ground, you know, every single team in the NFL is really good. So just staying in third manageable.
Falcons offensive lineman Chris Lindstrom joining us here to kick off the show live from Flowery Branch. Where do you feel like the offensive line specifically, but the offense as a total unit has improved the most from week one or before week one to where you guys are at now?
I think the operational standpoint of, you know, I think we had the turnovers and penalties and stuff like that, and I feel like we've gotten away from procedural penalties, and it's really just been, you know, in-snap penalties, you know, hands to the face, stuff like that, which is all technical stuff that, you know, you want to work on and eliminate. And Kirk's just done such a fantastic job communicating with us every day, and the reps keep stacking and stacking. And knowing what we want and getting a feel for things.
What is it like blocking for a quarterback where the defense pretty much knows he's going to be like at seven? He's not going to run out there or anything like that. Does your set have to be a little bit different because of that?
Yeah, it definitely does. But then there's, like everything, there's stuff kind of changes. So, you know, want to be inside out on it. But, you know, it's a great thing knowing also where he is, because, right. you know, where you want to force the rush.
Right.
And so, you know, we got to be firm and stout in there. And then also you kind of know where they're going to attack, and it's a little bit different each week and their whatever pressures or, you know, style or rush they want to bring. And so, yeah, everything with protection is always firm inside out.
I know you guys, I mean, whoever's running the football, you guys have a job to do and create lanes for them to run in. But when Tyler Allgeier starts going like he was in the second half of that game, and he's running through folks, and he's making guys make decisions like he was, what does that do to the offensive line just in terms of that fire you guys up? You're seeing him run like that?
Without a doubt. I think it brought energy to the whole team. You see him running angry like that.
Yeah.
Even the check down that he caught on the 3rd and 10, he puts his foot in the ground and he's making a guy miss, and all of a sudden he's got a 14-yard check down when he threw it behind the line of scrimmage, and that's all just because of his effort and the style and how he plays. And absolutely love Tyler, and he's the best wide zone back probably in the NFL. When he puts his foot in the ground and throws his pads into people, he's always going forward, always falling forward. And you love blocking for guys like that because, I mean, I think it just energizes the offense and then the whole team when you see somebody laying. You know, it's no different than D or AJ coming up and making the play and, smashing whoever it is on a flat route. I think Tyler brings that same energy.
You said earlier, division opponent, obviously, Tampa and everything. You played against the team. Are you going to pack on the carbs and everything? Because unlike all of us, we don't know what it's like to tackle and tussle with Vita Vea.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, tell us a little bit about him as a player and them as a whole defense.
Yeah, Vita's had a ton of success in the league. And, he's been there in Tampa. And, he's about as physically gifted as it gets, as big as he is, like 6'4". And they say he's 360. who knows what the number is. But he moves as good as anybody at nose in the league. And his, club hump is, right up there with the best guys. And so when he gets going vertical, he's a very good player, very stout in the run. And have a ton of respect for him and, the ability that he has. So it's a great challenge for us.
I know there's no weeks off. It's the NFL. But it just feels like, we're talking about week one and what that defensive line was like, and then Chris Jones and Vita Vea this weekend. Mentally, you just getting ready to go up against this attack every week, man. Obviously you're up for it, but it seems relentless.
Yeah, it's always a gauntlet with it. But I think the challenge in itself makes you excited. Like you said, the Steelers have probably the best defense and defensive front across the board. And Chris Jones is, arguably probably the best interior pass rusher in the NFL. And then Vita is a fantastic player. And then, just across the board, I think these defensive linemen are getting so good. But that's the beauty of the offensive line. And, we always talk about, Alex Mack's big thing when I was a young player is offensive linemen are evaluated by consistency. Right. And so... That's a challenge, and every single week going into that and embracing that, and that is a lot of fun.
Last one for me, and I want to go back to the – you talk about Tyler Allgeier's wide zone and everything like that. What makes this go? What makes that – because a lot of listeners ask us, I can explain it, but since you're in it now, what makes that go? Because sometimes you see it as a guy in the backfield. He might split a – because it's a zone, so it's really like a double team, but mm-hmm. He might split it. How do you get that movement on that play that makes it so successful?
Yeah, I think it starts with the landmark. So the back has his landmark, and he presses that landmark. And we know as up front, we want to get that stretch and then cut off the backside. That's always the core fundamentals of offensive line, wide zone. And then the back always makes you right. When he's pressing his landmark and he's on the correct landmark, he puts his foot in the ground and gets vertical. It's, a huge gain. And if they want to go inside, he presses it outside. And so it's just really disciplined in those things, and I don't think anybody's better than Tyler and Bijan at that.
The Braves stay alive tonight?
Oh, absolutely. I'm all in.
We're going to hold you to that.
All right.
We're going to hold you to that.
I don't know if my confidence is there, but I like that yours is.
Yeah.
Chris Lindstrom, nice enough to hang out with us. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, man. Good luck, brother.
Falcons radar, Chris Lindstrom.
He's pretty good, too. One of the best at his position, guys, and a great job by Andy and Randy. I hope he's right about the Braves, but, Mike, I hope he's more right about some of the things he said there in regards to our football team. The injuries are just a part of it, man, and you got to find a way. We just found out that the Bucs are going to be without literally – you're talking about star power, and they've been without Antoine Winfield. I mean, he's an all-pro. But when you look at their injury report now, they have ruled out their offensive tackle – Kalijah Kancey, their defensive lineman they drafted. Winfield, their safety. They're without three. That's three starters that they're without. Nobody's making excuses. So we just got to come in and play our game. I know we'll talk more about it in the Falcon Report, Mike, about our conversation today about Kyle Pitts and, what people are saying. And this article that's out there talking about his usage and all of this, I find myself like, you know, I'm turning into you. I'm arguing with guys about whether he's outside or inside and if he's in the slot. I'm like, are you watching?
Outside, inside, a bust is a bust is a bust, Joe. Got to figure this out. Nobody seems to know what to do with the man.
Mike Bell, what do we got coming up in Guy Talk?
Michael Jordan is suing NASCAR. Yeah.
I thought he was an owner.
He is. And he's saying that they're not running a shop like they should be.
Wow.
Not the first time this has been mentioned by a couple of guys that are in the sport. And Elton John, the bionic Elton John, I'll explain, coming up in Guy Talk. Where to play is play. Don't forget, guys, tomorrow, a very special edition of Dukes and Bell. We'll be up there, guys, at the Nest on Faux, and that is the really cool sports bar. State of the art, an amazing outdoor, indoor layout overlooking Mercedes-Benz. That's over at Signia, the brand new hotel at Northside. So come by and see us. 2 to 4, why don't you?
Can't wait.
Good food. Wings were freaking great. Food was fantastic. That's always the worst thing in sports talk. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, world's smallest violin. But, you know, Carl and I will be doing the show and, like, coming out of break. And Carl's like, and we're back. And then, foop, then the food
arrives. Yeah.
And then you're like, and you really can't. I mean, you could, but, you know, that's like something steak would do. You know, what was that? Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yes, I think we can run the ball.
This sandwich is delicious.
Yeah, you're not supposed to chew while you're talking. Hey, speaking
Two
of having.
2 hours, you do that in my sleep.
Speaking of having something in your mouth. You want some fun right now if you're at work? Just Google, why does Eduardo Perez sound like that?
Well, how does he sound?
I think the Braves are going to struggle when you think about coming cross-country and also dealing with the Padres team, which came to the wire like a thoroughbred.
Then why does he sound like that?
Can they fix his voice?
Come on.
The man went to Florida State. I generally have Florida State fellow FSU alum. I can't listen to it. I can't. And I know you can try to listen to, like, the local broadcast and sync it up. But, I mean, I just can't. It drives me crazy. I just, like, real quick, Eduardo Perez sounds like he's got nachos stuck in his throat. Another guy says, does he have Swedish meatballs stuck? Eduardo Perez's voice is unbearable. This is just the first 5 things I found out on the internet.
Nachos stuck
I can hardly watch baseball because of Eduardo Perez. He's the absolute worst. Yes! Yes! It's stop it! Stop the insanity. And I get it. We're very sensitive here in Atlanta. And yes, you could argue, despite our Herculean efforts to overcome the greatest injuries this franchise has ever had to contend with, that we're still pretty proud we've made it to the postseason, to be completely disregarded by the ESPN broadcast, as literally we're not even there. Shame on you, Ravitch. And that thing on your head, I got a Dr. Ravitch if you want a hair transplant. That thing should come with a chin strap.
Are you saying he's got a piece?
He's got three. He's got a toupee that looks like he had a haircut. He's got a middle one, and he's got Davy Crockett's hat. But enough about ESPN. Am I alone in this? Am I alone? Am I losing my mind? And by the way, you can't. It's television. It's not radio. The pictures tell the story. I mean, remember like Tim McCarver used to be? And I'll tell you what. Oh, shut up. I mean, they just don't stop. Everything. I mean, amazing play. He just fielded a ball in the outfield.
Yeah. A routine play.
Yeah, I mean, getting over there to cut off. Yeah, it's what outfielders do.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you can change his voice, though.
I wish you could.
How is this man on television? Anyway, I digress. Hey, man, last night if you're watching baseball and you're saying to yourself, self.
What were you saying?
Why is there a name on the side of the helmet? Strauss.
Who the F is Strauss?
Who's Strauss?
You didn't see it on the helmets last night?
No.
Well, I had no clue. I had to look it up. It's apparently a German manufacturer.
Oh.
And Carl, you mean you didn't recognize the iconic ostrich logo with Strauss?
No, I did not. I don't know if a lot of people did.
I never heard of it. Apparently, it's like a German version of like Dickies or Carhartt.
Okay.
The way I read it. So they're invading America, and nothing's more American than German Trust. Marketing on a baseball helmet.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Anyway, but apparently the owner of the team, the company.
This was your fear.
I just don't want them. Look, the Korean leagues, I don't want it to look like that. I don't want it to look like the side of a stock car. I just think, where does it end? You know, all of a sudden, it's going to get over the top. But this is now going to be on helmets. We already have the patch on the sleeve. And now we're going to have the helmet stickers coming up next.
Yeah, it's coming. All of that's coming. But no, I did not know that. But now I do.
Right.
Dunkershine.
Dunkashane, darling, Dunkashane. One thing baseball did get right, didn't get a chance to talk about it on Monday. We're so busy with the Falcons and everything else. And yesterday is they are going to go back. And this is something I've been screaming about. Carl's had to listen to me bellyache about this for 10 years, is to go back to the everybody wearing their normal uniforms in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
The kaleidoscope of color, my dad used to call it, everything you and I remember as kids, that is coming back for this year's All-Star
game. It's so the stars are easily recognizable, right? That's the part about this. You rep your uniform, right. You rep your city, and the picking out the stars, I don't have to go, where is right. our guy? And those uniforms suck. I'm so glad they're doing right. this. And I guess, you know what, Mike? Maybe they do listen to us.
Hey, so at Truist Park, you'll see the American League in their road colors, American League in their home colors. I've always loved the way those colors popped as a kid back in the day when the TV stopped at 13.
Yes.
All right, NASCAR. Michael Jordan and his race team, 23 Racing, where he's partners with Denny Hamlin, and Front Row Racing are suing NASCAR. Now, a lot of folks go, whoa, what's going on here? Well, there's a system NASCAR has called charters. It's almost like a franchise fee to have a team. Every year. And they've basically been negotiating the teams along with the guys that run NASCAR, which is the France family, about how they're going to make maybe change the approach of these charters, maybe drop the price. They vary from year to year. It's almost like a stock. And a lot of teams are kind of confused by it. Basically, it guarantees your placement in the race each week. And so a lot of teams have been going round and round. And basically, NASCAR says, here's the deal, because the current contract's about to expire. And they said, here's our offer. Take it or leave it. So Michael Jordan is the first name that's out there, but Rick Hendrick hasn't been happy. Joe Gibbs, none of the big teams, Childress as well, with how NASCAR has been handling this. So I don't know if this is going to...
Well, what's the end result here?
The end result, could the team, maybe the teams don't show up for Daytona, or they do. We're going to find out. NASCAR threatened to eliminate the charter system altogether for 2025 and beyond. So we'll see how this plays out. And before you know it, the season will be over, and then we'll see if are they going to show up at Daytona. Because this is something which I think NASCAR is going to try to – I got to be honest. NASCAR's done some really good things the last couple of years. You know, like the race at the L.A. Coliseum, trying different things like the Roval in Charlotte and the dirt race at Bristol. Not all of it's working.
Right, but they're trying.
They're throwing stuff up at the wall to try and get some new sets of eyeballs on the sport.
Well, and we talked about this, being creative and listen – F1's going to places they've never gone, right? They've got three American races now. You expand. You try these different things. NASCAR needs to expand the fan base. But this is interesting. I just don't know what the end result is. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can protest and say we don't like it, but are they willing to say we're not showing up?
I mean, the thing is, the France family is a monopoly, and that's what they're basically saying. Again, the lawsuit says anti-competitive and exclusionary practices to, quote, enrich themselves at the expense of the premier stock car racing teams. So we'll see where this one goes. But just stay tuned. It'll be interesting to see if this does affect the 2025 season. All right, man. Elton John was on stage up in New York. And apparently, I didn't realize this. Elton's had a lot of stuff taken out of the man's body. He's 77. You ever had your tonsils taken out or anything like that?
I did not. I thought I needed them, but I did not. Why, you have your tonsils?
No. I've had them. But the reason I bring it up is he was on stage and he was talking about folks and somebody asked how his health was in a Q&A.
Sure.
And he goes, to be honest with you, there's not much of me left. And he was talking about how he's given his tonsils, his adenoids, his appendix. Don't have a prostate, a left knee, or a right knee.
Wow.
So I guess it's like the incredible bionic Elton John. Half man, half machine.
That is a lot. Yeah. I mean, he's missing a lot there.
I didn't know that. He goes, but I'm still here. And he says, thanks all the fans for supporting him. Okay, look, one thing for certain, the guy still puts on a hell of a show. Hey, man, Tom Brady. We just talked about him yesterday with Rick Stroud and how that last year kind of went sideways in Tampa Bay. Because as Tom said to the media, I'm dealing with a lot of S in his life. Well, before Tom went to Tampa Bay, remember, guys, there was a podcast he did talking about how he was being courted. Now he knew the Patriots were going to give him a new contract. In 2020, he was a free agent. And he said there was a team that called about him and then basically backed off. And the famous line was, Tom Brady goes, they're going with that mother blanker? And now the word is confirmed. The team was the Bears. And that aforementioned blanker was none other than Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
Who the Bears rolled out with in 2020 when Brady says, I'll go to Chi-Town. He thought the team had a shot.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because a lot of people thought it was the 49ers.
Right.
And so that's crazy, Mike. I mean, but didn't he get it right?
You got it right.
He got it right.
No, look, like anything else, he stayed 1 year too long. Maybe the marriage stays. Maybe it doesn't with him and Giselle. But one thing for certain, he made a mistake coming back because nothing was gained.
Yeah.
You know, other than a meaningless division, and they got smoked by the Cowboys, as we talked about with Rick Stroud.
Yeah, he didn't want to give it up. Yeah.
Hey, man, that's why they say you can never go home again. And that is your NFL Blitz. Now, it's our Guy Talk brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Al, we'll be talking more NFL with our Falcon Report.
Yes, we will, because Raheem Morris sits down with Andy and Randy. We're going to talk about this offense. Can we do something things against Tampa on Thursday. And also, we're going to go around the yard as we get ready for game two. Max Fried on the hill tonight. It's win or go home for our Braves. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.